Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Free Agent Podcast. I've got John Huber today. John, thanks for joining.
Hey, good morning, Bo. Looking forward to
Yes, sir. So, customer success is one of the interesting use cases for fractional execs, one of the most to me personally. Prior to jumping into that, I'll give a quick bio. So, you're founder of Customer Success Architects, where you help SaaS companies turn customer success into a true growth engine. With over 20 years of experience leading customer success teams across companies like Model N, Aptology, Plex Systems, SumTotal, and Taleo. You've got a track record of driving transformation, retention, and revenue growth. You've led programs that boosted net promoter scores from negative 16 to plus 39, achieved retention rates above 95% gross and 120% net, and aligned customer success with business outcomes in some of the industry's most competitive markets. And now you partner with SaaS companies directly, helping them to kind of refine their post-sale strategies, strengthen relationships, and build high-performing teams that deliver sustainable growth. That was a mouthful, but that was a lot. That's good. John, thank you for coming.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, so let's get into customer success. And I think a good way to start these types of discussions is really kind of defining what it is, because most folks have a differing opinion, particularly at the executive level. So I'd love to kind of hear your version of what customer success is and why companies actually need it.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And so you're right. It is a buzzword that's been around for a bit now, and lots of different definitions. How I define customer success is it's helping your customers ensure they're getting the value out of the solution that they purchase from you. And if you think about today's SaaS economy, it's largely a recurring revenue economy. So being able to demonstrate the value, retain that revenue stream, but more importantly, grow that revenue stream over time is a compounding impact and has a compounding effect on the revenue growth of any SaaS business. So, when we think about, growth levers in, with customer success is paramount in that go-to-market engine.
Right. Yeah, what's interesting about customer success as well is I found, and I'd love to hear your opinion here, is that the last few years there's been a slight pullback on customer success with a bigger focus on like net new revenue. Net new revenue is important, but as I think most astute business people know, like net new revenue is very tough, and it's a lot easier to increase revenue in existing customer base. Any thoughts on while maybe one well, maybe the change or what kind of happened the last few years and the deprioritization of the existing customer base?
Yeah, I think it, part of it was, and right when COVID started, there was this increase in funding in a lot of organizations. They went out, built, and expanded their new business sales teams and started to see this, this swing in investment towards new business. The reality is it's often 7 to 10 times more costly to drive new logo revenue versus extracting it from your current customer base.
Which is absolutely insane when you think about that, 7 to 10 times harder.
Yeah.
And again, I've got my own company clearly, and I try to do more with the existing customer base. Of course, we have a focus on net new because it's important. It's a growth engine, but you can also grow a lot more and arguably quicker with your existing account
Absolutely.
base.
Absolutely.
So, okay, 20 years in corporate America. Jumping out into the fractional space. Fractional, of course, is a bit of a buzzword the last couple of years, for better or for worse. But what was the turning point for you personally, deciding to jump out and, put together a customer success focused practice?
Yeah, it's a great question. My last company, we were a publicly traded company. We were taken private by a private equity firm last summer. And so I made the decision in the fall. I wanted to do something different. I'd been doing this at five different firms, building, leading customer success teams. And I still wanted to do that, but I wanted to do it in a different way, but also be able to help more firms. What I've realized is I could have a bigger impact as a fractional leader, as an advisor to early and growth stage SaaS companies. And so at the beginning of this year, I founded Customer Success Architects with that in mind.
So to me, that's one of the most interesting use cases for fractional in general is bringing on a practitioner, an executive level person Oftentimes, you don't need somebody, in my opinion, of that caliber on your books full time. But of course, you'd benefit from their expertise and then bring on maybe a more junior resource to kind of carry out the tactical plan. In that vein, what are some warning signs that companies should look for as a tell that they need to tighten up customer success strategy or maybe even implement one?
Yeah, a great question. So, a couple of examples. If your renewals are a surprise, if they're not predictable, right? Your contracts that are coming up for renewal, if expansions with your current customer and driving more revenue with those are random and not predictable as well. And if your largest or your loudest customers are really the only ones that are getting attention, from your product organization or your engineering organization, to me, those are telltale signs that, there's probably an opportunity to tighten up your customer success strategy. I like to run a very predictable business, and I was an operator, and I try to bring those principles forward into my fractional work as well, where, you're able to predict multiple quarters in advance what your renewal revenue looks like, what your expansion revenue looks like, being predictable around customer health. And that squeaky wheel, if you're not taking care of the rest of your customers, it may not be, those large marquee logos, you could be in trouble.
So a lot of your work then is around kind of, analytics, predictability, essentially building a framework for tracking. Now, in your opinion, would you do most companies or most companies even tracking that? I mean, obviously, I imagine there's some sort of line, right? At a certain size, it's part of the game plan, but below that threshold, I would imagine most companies, sub 15 million aren't tracking renewals. It's not predictable. Do you agree with what I just mentioned?
Say when I think about tracking, I run a renewal forecast just like you would run a sales forecast. And so I agree. I would actually raise that bar to about 20 million in revenue. And so not that they're not tracking it or paying attention to it, there may be an opportunity in their CRM, but looking at it at the aggregate level, what's up for renewal this quarter, and am I gonna renew 100% of that business, or am I gonna renew 90% of that business? And so getting into that predictable motion, I think, is kind of that next phase of growth and opportunity.
Absolutely. And then tying that to the sales forecast, right? And submitting
Absolutely.
to the CFO. So they've got kind of this whole comprehensive view of the health of the organization.
Absolutely.
It's such a missed opportunity. In that vein, why do you think fractional is a good option for companies, maybe sub 25 or whatever you mentioned, versus more of your full-time resource?
I think you touched upon it, and what I've found as well is, those organizations are ripe for some strategy work and laying the foundation, around driving predictability with renewals, expansions, customer health, building churn programs, but they don't need a, seasoned leader, seasoned executive full time. If, somebody that could come in 2 days a week, 3 days a week, take that experience, and I think can have a broader impact than bringing somebody that may have less experience, but it fits the profile, it fits the, budget, if you will, for that growth stage. What I've also found is companies early on that think about churn before it's an issue are ones that grow and scale at a much quicker rate than those that address it once it's happened and once they've realized it. So the smart founders, the smart CEOs, they get ahead of it. They put those programs in place before it's really an issue.
Unfortunately, I feel like most are in the latter camp, right? Like they
I
figure
would
out
agree.
that it's an issue and it's like, wow, we're losing customers, versus building out more opportunities with customers. And it's really a shame. And I agree as well. Like oftentimes it's kind of penny wise, dollar foolish. They'll go with a resource that kind of fits the budget, but may not have kind of that overarching expertise that's really needed to kind of build a strategy. And oftentimes with folks, hiring folks that know what they're already doing versus learning on the job can be much more effective and quicker at implementing change.
I would agree. I think the other benefit too is just time to value, right? Somebody that's been there, done that, knows what good looks like, can come in and make an immediate impact versus maybe a less experienced person that does fit that budget, takes a while to ramp up and get their arms around everything.
Yeah, no doubt. So in that vein, what does a typical engagement look like for you, for your organization? Has that evolved in the last several months?
It really has. And so, it's funny, when I founded the organization, I had all of these ideas because I've taken 20 years of experience and tried to, catalog it into what I think customers would want. But as I started to speak with different, CEOs, founders, CROs, I really started to see a trend, fractional leadership coming in and really operating the business, leading the team was one. But one thing that I like to do is incorporate, I would call it consulting or advising work with that, right? I can come in standalone and help put together a churn program and turn that over to the team, but it's really not effective. I'd rather have, help indoctrinate that new process into the culture, into the business. And so, I look at my work as fractional work with an element of consulting and advising that comes with it as well.
And who do you think your biggest advocate within an organization typically is? Is it the CRO? Is it, CEO in small organizations?
I think it starts with the CRO because they're ultimately responsible for all of the revenue. But what I've found is the CFO starts to become a big advocate as well when they see retention, gross retention increase, net retention increase, some of those overall financial metrics that they're looking for because they're using those to go seek that next round of funding. And so the CFOs that are, familiar with what a good customer success strategy looks like, oftentimes will be big advocates as well.
Interesting. And so what do you wish most companies would know about customer success today? And where do you think the function is heading? And are there any implications with AI? Which I would imagine the answer is yes, but
Great question. So, what I wish, more broadly, and I think the smart ones get it, but it's more than just a another team or a cost center, right? It's really should be viewed as a strategic advantage. It should be viewed as, one of the three legs of your go-to-market engine, right? You've got sales, marketing, and customer success. And organizations that really thrive, that, are growing and see strong growth rates have a very strong go-to-market engine that include those three pillars. In terms of AI, I think everybody's trying to digest how can AI play into, their customer success strategy, and where I think there's some interesting use cases in a couple of areas when you think about, customer intelligence. So plugging into your CRM, particularly where, you're managing a large portfolio of customers as a CSM or even as a team, having those customer insights surface to you that come from different sources from your CRM that could come from, your communications and engagement with customers. I think another interesting use case that's really starting to surface is there's some really great work that's going on in this space around early detection of risk signals for customers to predict churn, even well in advance of when a human can predict it. And so, getting into some of the conversational data where you're engaging with customers and surfacing that real time, that's where I'm starting to spend some time and energy and advise companies to look at those solutions as well.
That's super interesting. So essentially leveraging AI on the front end, so you're alerted as soon as the engine's able to kind of, put some assumptions together versus what you see the data. So forward looking more so than rear looking. Interesting. So what is something that a founder of sales could do tomorrow to have a keen eye towards customer success?
Yeah, that's a good question. What I would tell them is take a look at your top 20 customers or your top 20% of your customers and, really start to understand a few different things. Do we have executive alignment and executive engagement with those? Do we have, understanding kind of the stakeholder map, understanding, how often and how do we engage with those? And then some of the common metrics in terms of, are they using, what's the utilization and the utilization patterns of your application look like? What has been the revenue trends since they've been a customer, right? Are they growing their revenue and growing with you, or are they remaining stagnant? And I think if you do the top 20 customers, that typically sets the stage for the rest of your customer base. And if you start to see some inconsistencies there, what that would tell me is you probably have some inconsistencies across your customer success strategy.
Interesting. So I'm going to throw a bit of a curveball at you. So in regards to ROI, right? I mean that's a big, indicator or maybe deterrent to doing some work in the marketing space, customer success, et cetera. And I realize it depends on the company, the industry, et cetera. But any thoughts on how long, if a company had zero customer success strategy, but decides to implement one today. I mean, any thoughts on how long it typically takes to see some sort of ROI from some of the principles and strategies that we discussed?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say I would take a $10 million, ARR size company as an example. And I think within a couple of months, you could put some very foundational items in place that you would start to see some shifts, right? It's kind of like building a house. You've got to build a solid foundation first and then start to build programs on top of that. And I would say within that first year, you'll start to see, an increase in net retention, an increase in gross retention, likely a pretty steady increase in your, net promoter CSAT, however you're measuring customer sentiment. I think if you could anchor on those three types of metrics, I think in the first couple of months, you'd start to see some impacts. 6 months in, you'd really start to see, a positive change in those areas as well.
Wow, excellent. Well, hey, John, really appreciate the time. How can folks get in touch with you and learn more about you and your, focus on customer success?
Yeah, they can. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, so on LinkedIn as well. I've got a website, customersuccessarchitects.com. I've got all my contact information there as well, and would love to have a conversation with folks.
Excellent. John, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for the time, Bo.
Sure.